Playing Who.
I'm Barry Farrell, Premier of the State, and you're listening to Who's Playing Who.
What up, I'm Benji Marshall.
I'm Gareth Ellis.
I'm Wally Takiri.
And you're listening to Who's Playing Who.
Wow, winning.
And welcome to another action-packed, hard-hitting episode of Who's Playing Who. I'm Adrian McMurray, and thank you for joining us for yet another outstanding episode of this humble little podcast. And yes, welcome to our third annual Christmas extravaganza. It is episode 60, and alongside me for this week's episode, first of all, Who's Playing Who co-owner, Matthew Trodden.
Thanks, Adrian. Merry Christmas to everyone, and hopefully you enjoy this very special themed show.
Indeed, and he had his week off last week, but he's primed and ready to go. It's Tomo Yee.
Adrian, always a pleasure, never a chore. Thank you for having me back, and I'm ready to kick off this third annual Christmas extravaganza.
Absolutely. Let's get stuck into it. This Friday, guys, I hate to break it to you, but this could be our very last ever podcast, because as you may or may not be aware, the world is scheduled to end, to cease as we know it, on Friday the 21st. So I don't know what time in the day it's going to happen or what exactly is meant to happen, but I thought I'd ask you, you know, how are you going to spend your last day on Earth, possibly? We'll start with you, Tomo.
Yeah, this is exactly like when Harold Camping announced the end of the world, and then that came and gone, came and went, and we're still here. It's going to be an interesting day. I don't know. I think that's the beauty of it. If this is my last day on Earth, I want it to be spontaneous, I guess. But the one thing I'm not sure about, as you just alluded to, is we don't know when it's going to happen. We don't even know which time zone the Mayans are talking about. Okay. So it could be New Zealand on Friday. It could be Friday in America. It could be Friday in Hong Kong. So, you know, I don't know. But, you know, it's exciting. And we'll see. We can talk about this next week on the podcast if we have one.
That's it. And, yeah, well, I don't know what you meant to look out for as well. But we'll see anyway. Matt, how about you?
Yeah, I'd say fireballs probably are a big sign that something's doing. we'll probably end up doing the same thing by the look of it. Adrian, we've both got our work Christmas party, of course, on Friday at lunchtime, straight into the soccer. It's yep. The Wanderers and Adelaide, which would be a great way to end seeing the Wanderers win at home. But I'd hate for that to be the last thing I ever do, to be honest.
Well, it'd be a Wanderers game. I couldn't think of anything better.
Oh, no.
That's it. But we'll end up, we'll see what happens, and fingers crossed, mainly for the podcast's sake, that we'll be back next week. Other people may beg to differ about the importance of the podcast and all that, but we'll move on to the hot topics. And actually, there's only one hot topic this week. The ARLC Commission has put into place a couple of new rules and regulations for starting next season. Matt, you want to take us through that?
Yeah, they've made three main changes that they've announced. First of all, changes to the State of Origin eligibility, which has been a hot topic for a long, long time. Basically, the new rule is you have to have lived in that state from under the age of 13. So if you move to Queensland or New South Wales before the age of 13, then you're eligible to play State of Origin for them. Otherwise, you're not. The only exception to that rule is if your father has played Origin for that state that you want to play for. So if, say, Greg Inglis came back to New South Wales, living in New South Wales, and his son wanted to play Origin, he could play for Queensland if he wanted to, but also be eligible for New South Wales, which kind of is a bit murky there. But I understand that rule, because that's actually been a State of Origin rule for a long time. It's just been ignored a lot. Second main thing is the scrapping of the benefit of the doubt. So that's no longer something for the video referees to look at. At the same time, they also lessen the role for video referees, so that every time there is a possible try, the referee actually has to make a call. So they have to say try or no try, and it will be reviewed if need be. So they have to make a call, have to have a decision, so there'll be effectively no ref's call, or it'll all be ref's call unless there is a major mistake.
Yeah, I don't mind that, actually. I think, you know, before we've seen a trend away from technology. I think there was a point there a couple of years ago where we went way too far to using the technology. We've come back a little bit. And I think it's an important tool to help referees on the field, but they managed to get most of the things right prior to this technology coming in. So good to find a healthy mix, I think.
Why go away from the technology if it's there, though? I mean, that's the whole reason the technology's there.
I think it's because it becomes way too technical. So like a little pinky of the... And you can't... Sometimes technology can't tell you the whole story with something like downward pressure or... Like a little pinky on the ball, it's never been a try, and it probably never should be a try. That's the kind of grey area that they worked with full technology.
Yeah,
I guess it also speeds up the game as well, and you don't have as many delays of game.
And eligibility makes sense to me.
Common sense rule, really. It's at 13, I assume they didn't really. I don't think they actually specifically said this, but 13's when they start playing full international rules in junior leagues. So that kind of age for you to be playing, that's when you've picked your state. I think that makes sense, and it probably will lessen the Islanders and the Kiwis that move over here in their late teens to go to school. They will basically be forced to play for New Zealand, which I think they should be.
So does that mean if they don't move to Australia before they turn 13, then they're not eligible for State of Origin?
Yeah, that's correct.
Oh, cool. Sweet.
All right. Well, there we go. The ARLC continuing to make changes to the game. That's what they were brought in to do. And I think so far we haven't seen how this is all going to play out. But I think the common consensus is that they're doing a decent job at the moment. So we'll wait and see how that all pans out next year. Let's move on to the A-League now and our match of the round, the second Melbourne derby for the season. This one's coming to you from Amy Park, Saturday, 7:45 p.m. And Melbourne Heart are hosting this one. They're coming into the game off a 2-0 loss away to the Central Coast Mariners, of course, at the home of the Giant Sauce Bottles in Gosford. And the victory, they are coming off a 1-1 draw with the Roar in what was an interesting contest there. Of course, they got belted 5-0 earlier in the year, but the Roar now down the bottom, and the victory right up in the lofty heights of the A-League's top three. So let's get a tip here. Who's going to win the Melbourne derby, Matt?
I'm going to go with the victory in this one. I think they'll get a win back on the Heart. Of course, the first Melbourne derby was a very entertaining game. The crowd was spectacular. And I think since then, the victory have definitely improved. They were probably looking a bit lost, still trying to work to Ange Postecoglou's system and the style he wanted to play. They're still not fully there, and I think they will admit that themselves. But they're a lot better side than they were in round one and probably should have gotten the 3 points, to be fair, against the Roar. So I think the victory will be too good here, and I don't think it'll be a big margin. I don't think there'll be too many goals, but probably a 1-0 or a 2-1 result.
It's interesting. Victory have a horrible record in the derby. They've only won one of these fixtures, drawn three and the Heart have won three. Tomo, how does that change your mind in any way?
Not at all.
No?
Nope.
Victory for you?
Exactly.
A man of few words, but I do believe he is leading the A-League tipping competition just by 1 point, so he does know what he's talking about here. And I reckon I'm going to go... I want to say victory, but I'm going to go draw. Sit on the
Sitting
fence.
Sitting on there. The fence. Sit Sorry on the fence. Get
You're always so
out.
Undecisive.
I know. It's one of the biggest problems I have. But I am coming, I think, in the top 200 in the official A-League tipping competition. So,
and you're not leading our tipping competition.
Well, no. Tomo, he's a man of many talents, and he chose not to sign up for the official A-League tipping comp, but he could be winning cash if he did. So I think it's silly that he didn't. But...
Well, I wanted you to feel included in the success of, you know, the A-League, so...
That's very kind of you, very selfless. But yes, so we'll move on now. And Matt, the A-League have launched a campaign for the summer of football. Of course, a lot of games around this period. Everyone's on holidays, so they're hoping to attract new audiences to the game with the summer football campaign.
Yeah, I think it's a really good idea, actually. I mean, this is the time of year that sport kind of takes a hold of a lot of people in Australia. Cricket, obviously, is on. They've got the Big Bash. They've got the Test matches. And I think it's a good chance for football. They normally have. I think there was the last year, the campaign was like the 12 straight hours of football or something like that. And I really enjoyed the concept. And I think it's a good one. This one's spectacular as well. All these games around summer. Midweek games when people are on, most people anyway, are on holidays from work and are able to get out to stadiums on a Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. And it's great. It's a great idea. I think they've also launched their social hub along the same thing, which looks spectacular, which if you go to their site, there's a link on the page. So I really think they could be getting some decent crowds over the summer period, particularly in some of the time zone places. They're good for TV as well, where they can play three games in twilight kind of hours.
That's it. Yeah, no, we're definitely looking forward to it. It's a hectic schedule, but one for the fans, absolutely. And speaking of hectic schedules, let's move on to the EPL. And things are, well, they're heating up there, but not so much in the temperature. They're going the other way. Our match of the round, we've chosen Liverpool and Fulham. This one's coming to you from Anfield, 4:30 a.m. on Sunday morning. An interesting one. Both of these sides coming off losses to what you describe as, well, lower-ranked sides anyway. As I look at the table, though, Aston Villa are only two places behind Liverpool, so perhaps not. Aston Villa, as I said, stunned Liverpool at Anfield, 3-1. Benteke just tearing them to shreds. And their opponents, Fulham, they gifted, well, they didn't gift, I don't suppose, but they allowed QPR their first win of the season, 2 goals to Tarapt, and Fulham going down to the side that are off the bottom of the ladder now, which is amazing considering their horrendous start to the season. So both sides desperate for a win, even though their form hasn't been too bad so far this season. Are you going to back the home side, Tomo?
Yeah, definitely. I think both coming off losses, someone needs to bounce back, and you'd hope that a home crowd can really push Liverpool over the edge. So I'm gonna bet Liverpool.
And likewise, Matt?
Yeah, I think I'll go with Liverpool as well. I think Fulham have been they've been in sturdy defence, but they're apart from their massive win on day on opening day, I think they've struggled a bit in the goals department. I don't think Mark Schwarzer can do a whole lot, but I do also hear of Liverpool making an offer for Daniel Sturridge, quite a hefty offer for Daniel Sturridge soon, or in the January transfer window. So that could bolster their attack, and maybe there'll be some guys, if hearing that, who maybe want to turn it on and cement their place before they bring a good young forward in.
Absolutely. And I'll go Liverpool as well. I think Fulham away from home are playing like absolute horrendous. So Liverpool should get a good win in front of their home crowd. Just touching on the January transfer window, we will have on the website a complete list updated daily with the transfer movements of every Premier League club. So look forward to that. Should be an interesting January with a number of clubs looking to load up in the attacking third of the field particularly. We'll move on now to the cricket, and after the first test, Australia somehow getting the victory when it seems like half the team were falling apart. They managed to come through, and we even had an interesting situation there where we had one of our batsmen keeping and our regular keeper bowling from memory. So what did you think of the first test against Sri Lanka, Matt?
I think it was actually any test, I think, that finishes in the last session, the last day, you can't kind of say isn't a good test. It was very hard fought. The pitch offered some interesting things. It's good to bat on for most of it. Then the invariable bounce in the last couple of days played around with the batsmen. And I think Sri Lanka did a good job to get where they were, particularly after Joe Wardner and Sangakkara were both dismissed fairly early on the last day. I think the middle order really worked hard to keep them in the match. But fortunately, Mitchell Stark really turned it on the last couple of sessions. I mean, he was inaccurate and inconsistent the first couple of days. He did get Dilshan after he scored 100 in the first innings, but he really probably wasn't up to standard in those first couple of days, but he really was spectacular on the last day. Cleaned up the tail after Peter Siddle had, as he has been doing, done all the very hard yards and got the early wickets. I think decent signs to Australia. The injuries were definitely concerning. Michael Clark in big doubt for the Boxing Day test. I think as much as he loses batting, I think his leadership would also be a massive loss because we'd have Shane Watson captaining Australia, which can't be a good thing. The loss of Ben Hilfenhaus is also hard because he's the kind of workhorse bowler that he may not take a load of wickets, but he'll bowl long spells. So we could be in some trouble in Boxing Day if both of them, well, Hilfenhaus is out if Clark doesn't play as well, but I think we'll probably just have too much for Sri Lanka. As you mentioned before, Hughes keeping. He's done it a couple of times for New South Wales, filling in Shield games, but we might have found ourselves a nippy medium pacer in Matthew Wade if they're... if the selectors, they have chosen Jackson Bird to fill Hilfenhaus' spot in the 12, which is fair enough considering his spectacular Shield form. But Usman Khawaja has also been added. If they had gone for Brad Haddin, we may have seen Haddin take the gloves and Wade be our extra bowler. But I think if we get to a decent start, probably win the toss of the bat, get off to a good start in Melbourne. I'm not sure whether the Sri Lankans will be able to run us down. Boxing Day is a massive occasion for Australian cricketers, and I'd like to think that even though it's probably not the biggest profile team, they would still step up and get the win in Melbourne.
Absolutely. Just quickly on that, if you were put your selector's hat on for a sec, Haddin or Khawaja in the current sort of climate of everyone sort of breaking down, would you like that extra security of having another keeper in the squad?
I think mainly because Clark's injuries, if he manages correctly, will be short-term. I would have gone for Haddin. I think it's perfect. Khawaja would be a good selection and situation, but I would have gone for Haddin simply because his form has been very good. Experienced Ted's come in. He could even, he may not captain the side, but he could be a leader in the team. He's a better keeper than Matthew Wade, quite honestly, and could take the gloves. Wade is the long-term option, but I think I would go for Haddin. But I think Khawaja's down there not just as cover for Clark, but also just for a bit of development, which is probably not such a bad thing because it's one thing that may be holding him back, but is his experience at that top level. So hopefully he can get that. But yeah, as I said, Haddin would have been my selection just for the one test.
Excellent. Well, we look forward to Boxing Day, and we hope that the Australian side can, of course, get the victory in that. Okay, it's time to look at the NBA. We missed this one last week, but Tomo's back, and he's going to bring us up to speed with what's happening in America.
Yeah, well, currently the NBA is they're finally a quarter of the way through the season, and so yeah, all the games are in full swing, and so they've just passed the December 15th trade. Oh, is that all right? What's happening there?
I have no idea what just happened.
All right, well, we'll keep going. They've recently just passed the December 15th trade allowance window. So that means everyone who signed as a free agent is now able to be traded to anyone in the league. So now you're going to see a lot of trade rumors pop up. And you've already started to see that with trade exceptions coming through and a lot of trade rumors. So something to keep an eye on. There's also currently in the NBA in the standings, you've got the Thunder. They're on a 11-game win streak. You've got the Clippers. The LA Clippers are currently on a 10-game win streak, and that's their longest win streak in history, and they're off to the franchise best start of 18-6. And are currently, it pains me to say it, but they're currently the informed team in Los Angeles at the moment. We've also got the New York Knicks. They are still top of the Eastern Conference, and although they suffered a loss to the hands of Jeremy Lin, who returned to Madison Square Garden the other day, dropped 22 points, 8 assists, and a win against the Knicks, handing the Knicks their first home loss of the season. So it was a bit of a blow. Carmelo Anthony was out injured. Moving on, there's a lot of injuries as well in the NBA at the moment, and you're starting to see a lot of players returning back from injury. You've got Ricky Rubio's come back from knee surgery. He tore his ACL midway through the last season, so he's taken a long time to recover. Of course, I just mentioned Carmelo Anthony's out. Amari Stoudemire is about to return to the Knicks. He's been injured for a whole lot of random knee things. And last season, you'll remember, he punched a fire extinguisher and broke his hand, and that cost him the playoffs, basically. Just a dumb move. And there are questions around how he's going to fit back into the system of the New York Knicks because they're playing really well without him. And so they think that some of the more so-called experts reckon he's going to come in and screw the chemistry up. And so I wouldn't be surprised if the Knicks fell out of that top Eastern Conference seed. Pau Gasol returned to moving on to my favorite Lakers team. Pau Gasol, he's come back after 2 weeks with knee tendonitis, and he came back today, and Steve Nash is looking to return by Christmas. And that leads me nicely to the Bobcats update, the new segment of the NBA section.
Yeah.
And recently, they played the Lakers today. And thankfully for myself, otherwise it would have been a horrible Bobcat segment, the Bobcats lost 101-100 at the very end. It came down to the wire. The Lakers were up 11 points. Then they got down to the Bobcats by 18. Then they brought it back out. And last second, a couple of last second shots just rimmed out. So as bad as the Lakers defense was, the Bobcats offense was just that much worse. I want to read you guys something from ESPN, and this really sums up the Bobcats update, because they haven't won since the last time we've done the Bobcat update.
Nice.
So the Bobcats winless since beating the league worst Wizards in double overtime back in November 24. That was in Washington, and are now 14-76. So 14 wins and 76 losses since the start of last season. And haven't won back-to-back games since the final two games in the 2010-2011 season. So that's 2 years ago. Their seven wins already have matched their total from last season's lockout-shortened 66-game campaign, in which they lost their final 23 games.
Jeez, that's a
tough record.
That's a tough streak.
It's not good. Yeah, it's not ideal. But they have some young players, and thankfully they didn't beat the Lakers, but, you know, we wish them all the best in the next coming weeks. And hopefully they can get that eighth win.
Oh, my goodness. The Bobcat update is quickly becoming one of the great segments of this podcast. It's outstanding.
Keep in mind, so they haven't won in almost an entire month.
Oh, wow. That's rough.
Yeah, they're on a 12-game losing streak.
But I guess they're used to it, so, you know.
That's true. And one other stat, they haven't shot over 50% at all this season.
Oh, my God. I'm not even... Let's move on now. It's time for this great segment with a little bit of a twist.
Yes, put on your thinking caps. It's time for the Think Tank, and of course, this is the Christmas Extravaganza podcast. It's our third annual Christmas show, and it's all been not that Christmassy themed so far, but we're gonna ramp it up right now. I was gonna say it was really Christmassy, but I realised we hadn't actually done anything Christmassy until now. So I'm proposing, you know, last year we provided some gifts, some sporting related gifts that we would want Santa to give, or ourselves to give, to these athletes or teams, and what we hope they would receive from us and hopefully help them in the future. So Matt, you know, start us off. Who have you got some gifts for?
My presents this year, I'm starting with Sydney FC. Obviously, as we mentioned last week, Adrian and I were at the derby, the glorious second Sydney derby, and we saw the Wanderers grab the win 2-0 over Sydney FC, continuing their winless run at home this year. So I would like to present to Sydney FC for Christmas a home victory. It will probably be their last victory of the year, looking at their form and just, you know, general demeanour, their last victory of the year. But I'd like to present them with a home win just for the sake of it. They're not playing the Wanderers at home again, so it's not going to be against them. A home win for Sydney FC. From a change of sport, going to Nathan Lyon. He had a disappointing test again.
Hello?
Whoa.
All right, so it looks like the feds are onto us, and we seem to have lost Matt, but that's all right. We'll be back soon. We'll find Matt, and we'll be back with the rest of his presents. You're listening to the Christmas episode. Who's playing who? And we're back. Yes, there were technical difficulties, but we have recovered Matt, and he's back with the remaining two of his presents.
Yes, thanks, Adrian. We've gone the second one going to Nathan Lyon. He didn't have the greatest of times in Hobart. I didn't mention that before, but that was for good reason. I'm going to gift him a test fifer. He got one. I think he's only got the one in his career. In his first test against Sri Lanka, in Sri Lanka, bowled very well on that day. Got a wicket with his first ball. Got Sangakkara, in fact, with his first ball in test cricket. And I think for Australia's sake, we need a spinner going well. Melbourne could be the time to get it. Nathan Horrocks got his first test fifer in Melbourne against Pakistan. Last time I was going to the Boxing Day test, I'm returning this year to the Boxing Day test, and I hope to be seeing another off-spinner getting a fifer for Australia and hopefully winning us the test. And finally, going back to football, my last present is to Harry Kewell. I am giving him a professional contract. Don't really care where it is. I just want Harry to be playing again because he could be a very good asset for Australia in the World Cup. Not necessarily as a starter. I think he'd be a great bench impact player. Give him 25 minutes, half an hour, and it could really make a difference to a side. I wouldn't mind seeing him at the Western Sydney Wanderers, in fact, mainly because he's a Western Sydney boy and I think that's where he belongs. But wherever his club team may be, I just want to see him back playing again because he's a great player and a legend of Australian soccer.
All right, excellent. Thank you for that. Adrian, what about your presents?
All right, I also have three. The first one, last year I gave Mario Balotelli a new bib to put on for training because he struggled greatly to get the training bib over his head. So I gave him one that was easy to put on. This year, I'm in light of the continual troubles he seems to have at Man City, I'm giving him a free transfer to whatever club that Mourinho happens to manage. There's talk that he may leave Real Madrid, whatever. I think Balotelli, Mourinho, the one club, my goodness, fireworks. Not. Oh, God. That was unintentional, but hilarious. If you remember back to when he set off fireworks in his bathroom last year, but. Anyway, Balotelli with Mourinho would just be outstanding. And I actually think he's the only man that could really manage him and contain his maintain his ego, because he's got quite a large ego. My second present is to the incoming ARLC CEO Dave Smith. A lot of people have got stuck into him about his lack of knowledge of rugby league, and I really want to see him do well. He's the man they've chosen, so I'm going to give him the 2012 Rugby League Almanac just to brush up on, what's happened the past year and that sort of thing. Just some nice holiday reading for him, so that should help him in his new role. And finally, to Billy Birmingham, the great man. He is probably the funniest man in Australian sports broadcasting. Well, that's debatable, but he's certainly one of the top, if not the best. And if you haven't heard, he won't be returning to the back page next year. We won't get too much into it. But if he's not going to be on the back page, then I am gifting Billy his very own show. Now, I don't mind whether he comes on Who's Playing Who and takes over. Look, we're open to that. We can talk that through. Or whether it's his own television show, whatever. I just want to see him back on TV or on radio or somewhere. And I think it's a real waste if he isn't. So, Billy, you're very much welcome to come and be on Who's Playing Who, if you so desire.
Oh, that would be fantastic, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Instead of having like 8 of us on the podcast, we could have just one of him, and he could do all our voices.
Suddenly, the operating costs just save so much money.
I feel they may skyrocket if it was just even with just him.
Yeah, actually.
To be honest, following up on that, I kind of hope that he puts out another 12th Man album. When was Boned release? The last Ashes, was it?
2006, maybe?
Yeah. Long time. But no, he's one funny man. I mean, even I know him. And to put it in perspective, I know nothing really about cricket or Australian cricket. And the fact that I know who, the commentators and Richie Beno and all that because of Billy Birmingham is just, true testament to just how good that man is. Yep. He's arguably more famous than the actual commentators. Is it safe to say?
In some cases, yeah. In some of the commentators, definitely.
All right. Thank you for that, Adrian. My three presents I've got, more metaphorical, I guess, in the sense. But the first one is I'm going to gift the Los Angeles Lakers some good health. Now, I could gift the entire league of the NBA good health, but I'm selfish. and I want the Lakers to be the best team in the league, and they have struggled mightily, and so I'm hoping, especially Steve Nash, he's 38, he's turning 39 next month, and Pau Gasol is just returning from knee tendonitis, as we covered before in the NBA section, but I just hope they're healthy for the rest of the season. They've been hindered by injuries. Dwight Howard's still recovering from back surgery, and so I just hope they are healthy and can and tap into some of that potential that we all thought. They're currently two games under 500 wins percentage, and so hopefully... that's very far below their expectations, so hopefully they can pick it up through good health and pick up for the second half of the season. The next present I have is for New Zealand cricket, and it's the gift of self-respect, because they need to sort their shit out.
It's a long time due, I reckon. Long time
due.
Oh,
God. You guys talked about this last week with Shippy, and you talked about it excellently. And the fact is they've treated Ross Taylor pretty badly, and they've handled the situation poorly. So they need to take a good look at themselves in the mirror and to really decide what they want to do and to be basically more professional about it. The way they've handled it's pretty poorly. They've handled it pretty poorly. And so hopefully over the summer they can kind of get their act together and we can move on from the debacle that's just happened. And finally, my last present is to Richie McCaw, and I gift him some safe travels for his 2013 rugby sabbatical, his 6 months off, where he can go away and refreshen up both mentally and physically, and by the time he comes back halfway through next year, start building towards the 2015 Rugby World Cup.
That's us, that's I think.
That is the think tank.
Sorry, I just thought I'd... You know, just jump in, rain on your parade.
That's no. Hey, by all means. By all means. Parade. Rain on this parade all you want, mate.
That's cool. That was a great think tank. And it's becoming an annual tradition. You know, as Matt said last week, everyone looks forward to the presents. We've given out goals to the prize cow, Wayne Rooney. We've given out plenty of things. And I'm sure they will all be greatly appreciated to their respective parties over on Christmas. Well, quickly, I've got a bit of a rant here now. We'll go to that.
I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!
Sorry, I forgot about the little intro there. We can't forget about that. The rant is back after a little bit of a break, and I'm here to rant about cars with antlers. I understand the idea is, you know, it gets everyone everyone's happy, it's Christmas and all that sort of thing. But your car is not a reindeer. It can't fly and it looks ridiculous. What I've seen this Christmas, there seems to be a trend. There's now these sort of red covers on the side mirrors and people have flags, Christmas flags. Now, I understand putting a flag if it's Australia Day or, you know, the Socceroos are playing the World Cup or whatever, that's cool, you know, or put whatever flags you want on your car, your team, whatever. But what is a Christmas flag? I don't understand it. And it just fills me with rage for some reason. call me screws of the podcast, but my goodness. So that's what I got to say on that.
Oh, you're not wrong, though. What's worse is the one where people put eyelashes on their lights. Have you seen those?
Yeah, that seems unnecessary.
Oh, they are horrific.
They have too much money and too much time on their hands, quite simply.
Why do it? It's weird. I mean, in New Zealand, Adrian, we've got that as well. You can buy like a pack of three, and it's like a giant red nose that you put on the car bonnet, and then two antlers.
Yeah.
I understand.
Fly.
I mean, reindeer get
back
you from
to
A
future.
To B. reindeer do get you from A to B, you know, which I guess a car does. So in that sense, it is. But
yes, yeah.
But there's only one Rudolph, and if every car has bloody a red nose on it, well, then you're just gonna get confused.
Oh yeah, I they are the cars you love to see broken down on the highway.
Yeah.
They're probably like, not that you're like you don't want anyone in pain or anything like that, but you know they are the cars that you know you want them sitting there waiting for the NRMA.
You want it to run out of oil
stupid.
Or like
something not something unsafe, just a silly. Oh, I've got to fill up with petrol and you know, halfway down the freeway I'm empty.
Yeah, I spent too much time putting on my antlers instead of filling up the car at the petrol station. Yeah.
It'd teach a lot of them a lesson, I think.
Oh, that's great. All right, we'll leave the rant there and we'll wrap things up now. You can come find us on Facebook, facebook.com/whosplayingwho, or you can tweet us at whosplayingwho, that's on Twitter. Or head to our website, whosplayingwho.net, and you can read some of the great articles on there. I put one up about the Sydney Derby. Interesting read, maybe. I don't know, I wrote it, so it must be outstanding. Tomo's NBA stuff continues to just... The people love him. If he writes another one, I tell you, there could be like rock star levels of fame headed his way. They continue to lap it up completely. That's all we've got time for now on this very special podcast. It wasn't so Christmassy until the end, but we got there in the end. I think last year we played little clips throughout, but that's okay. We're cutting back this year. It's tough times.
Combination of budget cuts and laziness.
Yeah, it's a deadly combination. So we'll say goodbye to you first, Tomo, and also a very Merry Christmas to you and your vote for Man of the Pod.
Well, thanks, mate. Merry Christmas to you and Merry Christmas to you, Matt. I'm sorry I couldn't be here last week, but it was a great show, and I'm thrilled to be back again this week, and thank you to people listening. Just like the three wise men, you know, we came and gave out some presents, so it was a successful episode. My man of the pod, Adrian, Merry Christmas, mate. You've got my nod for Man of the Pod.
All right.
For that wonderfully delicious rant about reindeer ears.
That's it. I'm just glad that everyone...
Antlers, that's what they're called.
Agreed, yeah. Yeah, no, that's great. Merry Christmas to you as well, Matt, and your vote for Man of the Pod.
Thank you, Adrian. Merry Christmas to you and to Tomo as well. I'm going to go with Tomo and vote for you, Adrian. the rant just topped it off. Seeing you rage is quite a sight, and I can just imagine it driving along the road, abusing people because they're trying to get some Christmas cheer.
And laughing maniacally as their broken car, while you drive past their broken car on the freeway.
Exactly.
You know, you're not too far from the truth. Not so much with the broken down car. I haven't seen like a broken down reindeer car, but I do tend to just go, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? That sort of thing. But maybe a bit more angrier. Not really worked up at the moment. But anyway, that's all we have time for now. Have a very safe and Merry Christmas. We'll catch you next week for our New Year's episode, which should be coming your way just before New Year's Eve, where we'll take a look back at the year in sport and we'll listen back to our predictions. But in the meantime, for the weekend ahead, all that matters is who's playing who. The snow's coming down. Christmas. I'm watching it fall. Christmas. Lots of people around. Christmas. Baby, please come home. Christmas. The church bells in town. All ringing in song. And for the weekend ahead, all that matters is... I'm Man of the Pod.
You didn't do the... And remember... for the weekend ahead.
And remember, for the weekend ahead, all that matters is... I'm Man of the Pod.
There you go. Nailed it. Third time's a charm.